Thank you. with everything you have this morning. Because I see some people standing, staring into space, lost in space. Listen, the Bible says, make a joyful shout to the Lord. There's many places that says, lift up a shout to the Lord. I want to encourage you to sing with us today. Let's worship God in one accord. The Bible says in the book of Acts, when they were in one accord, in one place, that suddenly they heard the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and tongues of fire sat upon all of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they started speaking in other tongues. Let me tell you this, something will happen when we worship God in one accord, in one place. I want to encourage you, church, don't stand staring into space today, but lift up a shout of praise unto our God. Come on, give Him a shout this morning. Let me hear you. Let me hear you shout. Give Him a shout of praise. Lift your hands. Lord, we worship You. We worship You. We worship You. I want us to sing that chorus again with everything. But this time, I want everybody to sing it. I want everybody to lift your voice. I want to ask everybody to lift your hands. Forget about everything else now. Let's sing praise unto our God. Let's let Him know that we love Him. Let's let Him know that we worship Him. Let's lift Him up this morning, church. Can you say amen, somebody? Come on, let's sing it out. With everything. With everything, Lord. hands to praise Him. So Lord, I praise You today with everything that is within me. I bless Your holy name. I exalt You, Lord. I love You with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. Come on, church, lift your hands to the Lord and worship Him today. Praise Him. Give Him glory. Give Him honor. Magnify Him. Lord, we magnify You today. We magnify Your holy name. We worship You. We praise You. We bless You. Lord, like David said, with all that is within me, we will bless Your holy name. With everything, Lord, we will worship You today. We thank You for Your presence here with us. We thank You, Lord, that You are here in the midst of us today. We thank You for Your Spirit. We thank You, Lord, for Your anointing. We thank You, Lord, that every yoke is destroyed by Your anointing. Every burden is removed by Your anointing. I speak to yokes today. I take authority over those things that are binding you today. And in the name of Jesus, I command that you would be free. I command that yoke would be broken, that it would be destroyed. I command that burden that is weighing you down would be removed from you this morning. In the name of Jesus, I declare freedom. Freedom over you. I declare healing. I declare peace, strength, and victory. Lord, with everything that is within us, we give You praise today. And we thank You. We thank You for Your presence. We thank You, Lord. We thank You for Your Spirit. We thank You for Your anointing today. We thank You for touching us, for changing us from glory unto glory. Thank You, Lord, for working in us today. Thank You, Father, for touching every life, for touching every heart. We give You all the praise for everything said and done. Holy Spirit, we welcome You in this place. We welcome You to have Your way, Holy Spirit. Move as You will today. Touch lives, touch hearts, touch bodies in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Everyone said again amen. Say with everything, I will praise You, Lord. Say with everything that is within me, I will worship You in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Won't you turn to someone, welcome them, shake their hands, smile at them, tell them you're glad to see them this morning.
Says that where the Holy Spirit is, there is liberty or freedom. That means that chains come off when we praise God like that. There's an anointing, as Pastor Steve said, the scripture says the anointing breaks the yoke. That a yoke is anything that binds you or holds you back. And when you get in the presence of God, the anointing of God, those things fall off of us. Amen? I love it. I love it. This is Angela. For those of you who don't know her, you just welcome her. You should know her. And I'm the pastor's wife. For those of you who are visiting, I'm Jill Barry. And we want to welcome you to church this morning. We want to welcome those who are watching online. We're glad you've joined us today. And I wanted to ask Angela, because we always welcome the visitors right now. And I just thought of your story. And, you know, Pastor Steve and I get to hear everybody's story, and I just love it. But tell us, how did you come to the church?
So my mom watched, she's no longer with us, but she watched Pastor Steve's Power for Life television show, and she ordered a product from the show. Sitting on the dining room table one day was a study, The Power of Words. And it just caught me. It was this guy in the suit and the table in his mouth. stop, and I was just drawn to it. And listening to that completely changed how I spoke. It completely. I turned the box over, and I noticed that the CFC was in Jupiter, and I thought, that's not far, so I popped
in. Where did you live? When did you live there?
I lived in Boynton Beach, 40 miles.
Okay, that's not far, right?
Well, it didn't feel far. So that's how I came to Christian Family Church.
Yeah, and are you glad you saw that product?
Absolutely. It completely changed my life. In so many ways, it would take days to tell all the testimonies. But the thing that I think impacted me immediately and forever was what I learned about faith, exactly what it is, and that it's everything, and that more than everything else changed me. Through faith, I believed for healing. I was healed. Pastor Steve has told that story many times.
Tell us briefly.
Okay.
Don't get enough of that story. Tell us. Come on.
So I had a pretty serious growth in my uterus, and make the long story short, I was scheduled for surgery, prepped for surgery, put under, and I woke up and I didn't have the surgery. The doctor said that he went to do the surgery and there was something blocking my uterus that didn't show up in all of the sonograms.
And before that, the growth was, if Angela lay on her back, you could see it. And you got prayed for, you came up with the prayer line, you got prayed for.
Yeah, first Nadine and I prayed together, and then I came up and Pastor Steve prayed over me. And so the doctor could not perform the surgery, and so they had to go back and redo all the tests, and in doing that, they found that the growth had shrinked. It shrinked, and it's not there anymore.
I love it. Yeah. I mean, she said, Angela said everybody knows the story. I'm like, just keep telling it because it's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle. I mean, I said, where would you be? That's the thing we don't realize, that you begin a journey of faith, and without it, where would you have been?
That's the thing. Yeah.
I know, so. So just in the area you said in receiving from God, faith taught you that. You said in your family, it just...
Absolutely. Like, I started to believe through faith for things for my family. I would never have done that before. I didn't know that my faith could extend beyond me. And many things changed. So many. I'd be up here forever with me, with my family, even friends and coworkers.
Wow. I love it. It's such an amazing testimony. And give it a hand. I feel better when you're home. But that, that's the power of a life changed. Now, every one of us sitting here is a life changed, right? I mean, we could write books about the things that God has done in our life. Amen. Angela said to me, she said, I'm going to just start, the Holy Spirit has prompted me to start writing these things down. Because there's so much to it, And that's the story. And as we welcome our visitors, I thought of it when we were sitting here last week. We welcome people who are coming in here for the first time. And yet I think we underestimate what God can do. Just through somebody being in the right place at the right time, hearing the word of God, right? It changes our lives. Amen. Glad that you've joined us. We love having visitors in our church for this very reason, that we're excited about what God will do in your life. But if you are here for the first time, we have a visitor pack that we'd just like to give you right where you're sitting. So if you wouldn't mind, if you're visiting for the first time, just wave your hand that we can give you a visitor pack. God bless you. Welcome, welcome. Anyone else? And so family, thank you. Just in that visitor pack, a couple of things. One of them being a white card. If you take a moment and fill it out, when the offering bag is passed by at the end of the service, just drop it in, and it gives us an opportunity to call you. In the meantime, the pastor's going to look who's here and wave to people. And
no, I'm glad to see my nephew back there. Right. Is back there.
Right. Did you
Angela.
Say something?
Am I? Have you finished?
I think I was.
Think so.
Actually, I think I am now.
Well, listen, I can't give that testimony enough.
Not enough.
It's such a blessing, such an encouragement how the Lord totally healed you, did that miracle. And I want to tell you, Angela, the Lord's going to use you to pray for others. And He's going to do miracles through your hands. You just got to step out and pray. He's going to use you to bring healing to others. Amen?
Amen.
In fact, there's people here today, and the Lord wants to heal you. I can't heal you, but He can. But I know how to pray. And the Bible says the believer will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover.
Amen.
See, because when I pray for you, I lay my hands on you, then the power of God goes out of me into you. The healing power of Jesus goes out of my hands into you and heals you. I mean, there's Dolores back there. She had a brain aneurysm. She was scheduled for surgery. She kept blacking out. She had the longest period was 30 minutes. She couldn't see anything. 30 minutes. It was black. And we prayed for her Bible college. And she was scheduled to go in for surgery. She went in and she went for the surgery. And they didn't do it because the aneurysm had gone. Do you have documents for that?
I do.
The documentation?
I do.
You've got to bring those documents and we've got to film your testimony. Is that you, Angela? Is there anyone today that you need healing in your body? Say, Pastor Steve, I need the Lord to heal me today. Let me tell you, the Lord wants to heal you today. If you need healing in your body, I want to pray for you. I want you to lift your hand up right now. Is there anyone who needs healing in your body? I want to ask you, would you stand up right where you are? Just stand where you are. Just stand right where you are. Now, I want to ask a believer that's nearby. I want a believer who's nearby. I want you to stand with them, and I want you to put your hand upon them. And I'm going to pray one prayer. And when I pray this prayer, God's healing power is going to go into your body. So I want a believer, not a doubter. I need a believer standing next to you. Make sure I want someone with everybody. Is anyone doesn't have someone with you? Does everyone have somebody standing near them? Now you know, when I was 18 years old, I used to watch Pastor Theo pray for people and miracles. And then one day he called me up, he said, Steve, come pray with me. And I tell you what, I was so nervous. And he said, just walk with me and pray. And I started praying for people, and guess what? Miracles started happening. You know why? Because I'm not the healer and you're not the healer. Jesus is the healer. And all he's looking for is a vessel, someone who's available, someone who'll be willing to step out in faith and be bold and pray. That's all it takes. So are you ready today?
Yes.
I said, are you ready today?
Yes.
All right, those who are praying, I want you to say this with me. Those who are praying, say this. Close your eyes. Say, Father, I thank you that you are our healer. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you yourself, you took my sickness. You took our diseases. By your wounds, we were healed. Thank you, Lord, that you are our healer. And you promised to take sickness away from us. You said the believer will lay their hands upon the sick and they will recover. So in the name of Jesus, I lay my hands upon my brother or my sister. Take this, say, I release the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ to flow into your body. In the name of Jesus, say, I command sickness, go from them. Disease, go from them. I command your body to be healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you right now for your healing anointing, your healing power that is flowing, touching people, flowing through their body. Thank you for doing miracles. Thank you for healing people, Lord. Thank you for restoring health. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory, Lord. It all belongs to you. We thank you right now that you're a miracle-working God. and we thank you for healing, for doing miracles, for restoring. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Say, I agree,
I agree
that you are healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. God bless you. Hallelujah. You can sit down. There you go. That's how you pray for someone. Now listen, you pray for people when you leave here. Not just in church. You should be praying for more people outside of church than ever that we pray for in church. When you leave here, be ready. These hands are God's hands. He wants to use them. Your voice is His voice. He wants to use you. He wants to use you to be a minister. Amen?
Amen.
Remember the first time I went to pray for somebody at home that had cancer? And I was a young man. I was 18, 19 years old. And Pastor Theo, he made me a pastor when I was 20. And I went to pray for this man. His name was Jackie. And he had cancer. And I'll be honest with you. My knees were having fellowship like that. I was what is that? What is wrong? And so anyway, I went to his house. One of the first times I went to, a house call. Doctors do house calls. Pastors do sometimes as well. And so I prayed for him. And he went to, and I just prayed in the name of Jesus. I just prayed like I seen Pastor Theo pray. I laid my hands on him, released the healing power of God. And he went to the doctor and they couldn't find a trace of the cancer.
Amen.
I think I was more amazed than he was. Praise God. Well, we are glad that you are here today. Are you glad that you're here today?
Yes.
You made a good decision to be in church today. Amen. I just want to mention to you before I get started with the teaching I have for you this morning. As the register comes by, we have a register that's handed by. It's an attendance register. We ask you please to fill that out. But on that register, there is a little column that asks if you do not receive my weekly text. I send out a text every week, and I let everyone know what I'm going to be speaking about on Sunday. This Sunday, I'm speaking about listen and obey. And if you do not receive that text, please indicate on the register that you do not receive it and you would like to, and we will put you on our text list every week. Or maybe you're already on there. Sometimes there's a little technical problem and people say, "Oh, Pastor Steve, someone came to me this morning that I'm not getting the weekly text anymore." I said, "Well, just indicate on the register and then Daniel will see that and he will investigate and we will check it out." Amen?
Amen.
Also, I want to mention to you that on Tuesday night, we're busy with a Christian Growth Seminar at my house. And this Tuesday, we're going to be having water baptism at my house. And the Bible says, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is one of the commands that Jesus has given us. And so, on Tuesday night at my house, we are going to have water baptism. And if you have not yet been baptized in water, you are welcome. I want to invite you to come and join us. We don't do water baptisms, you know, every week. And so if you haven't been baptized, don't miss this opportunity. Now, if you said, Pastor Steve, I was baptized when I was a baby. How many of you were baptized or christened when you were a baby? Wave your hand at me. I was christened as a baby in Roman Catholic Church. But you know, there's nowhere in the Bible, not one single place where they ever baptized babies. There's not any biblical foundation to baptize a baby. No reason. Because if a baby were to die, that baby would go straight to heaven, whether it was baptized or not. Baptism is something that you choose after you accept the Lord. See, the Bible says repent and then be baptized. So first you accept Jesus, you get born again, you get saved, you become a child of God, and then you get baptized. So if you were baptized when you were a baby, you really weren't baptized, it doesn't count. Baptism is something that you get baptized by full immersion under the water after you've accepted the Lord. So this Tuesday night, I'm having water baptism at my house. We've got a number of people already signed up to be baptized. But if you would like to be baptized and you'd like to join us on Tuesday, even though maybe you're not part of the class, you just want to come Tuesday night for the baptism, you are welcome to come and join the baptism. Is there anyone here this morning that says, Pastor Steve, I would like to get baptized on Tuesday night along with those others? Wave your hand at me now. Anyone? You mean I said all that for nothing? That whole long spiel for nothing? Now, just as sure as God made little green apples, next Sunday, someone's going to come up to me, and they're going to say, Pastor Steve, I want to get baptized. You watch. Amen. Also, I want to mention to you that our Christmas Eve, how many of you know Christmas Eve is on a Sunday this year? And so, because it's on a Sunday, we are going to be having two services on Christmas Eve. We're going to have our regular 10 a.m. service. And then we're also going to have a 6 p.m. service on Christmas Eve. So, I encourage you. I'm going to make it two different services. I'm going to preach two different messages so you can come to both. I mean, two different messages. And we're going to have Christmas carols and we're going to have a great time here. Christmas Eve, 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. Are you ready for God's word this morning?
Yeah.
I have a doozy for you this morning. You know what a doozy is? Have you ever heard that word? I have a doozy for you today. This is going to be good today, Angela. I want to speak about listen and obey. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that your word is what brings us faith. It builds our faith. Your word gives us wisdom. Your word is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. It gives us direction. Lord, thank you today as I stand to teach your word. I make it known that, Lord, as always, I'm trusting you. I'm depending upon you to anoint me, to use me, to enable me, to speak through me today, Lord. I thank you that you carry your word by your anointing to every person's heart and mind. That you, Father, bring revelation. You bring understanding. And I pray, Lord, that not one person would leave the same way they came in, but they would be changed by your word, by your spirit, in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Now, I was reading this week, and one of the things I love to read is Psalms. One of my favorite books to read is the book of Psalms. I find the Psalms so encouraging. I find them, just many of the Psalms David wrote were some of his darkest times, and yet they're such faith. And here's one that I read this week, Psalm 81, in verse number 13. It says this: how I wish my people would listen to me. How I wish they would obey me. I would quickly defeat their enemies and conquer all their foes. I would feed you with the finest wheat and satisfy you with wild honey. God said, how I wish my people would listen to me. How I wish my people would obey me. Because if they did, I would quickly defeat their enemies. I would quickly conquer all their foes, and I would feed them with the finest wheat and satisfy them with wild honey. Let me tell you, the key to happiness and blessing and success is to listen and obey what God says. That's the key. The key to happiness, the key to victory, the key to blessing is listen to God and obey what He says. How many of you know that the Bible tells us that the things that were written in the Old Testament were all written for our example? The scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the things written in the Old Testament were written for our example, that we can learn from them and avoid the mistakes that they made. And when you read the Old Testament, one of the things you see is how the people of Israel, God's people, they continually disobeyed what God said. They continually went away from what God told them. And that's why they got into trouble. They ended up, they would be conquered by their enemies. They would be taken captive. And then they'd come back to God, and God would deliver them. And then they'd go away from God, and they'd get back into captivity.
Merciful.
In Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, God's promise. He said, it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey, say obey,
obey,
If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. The Bible says that when we obey the voice of the Lord our God, blessings will come upon us. They will overtake us. They will chase us down. And verse 3 says, your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and your flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you will be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies. When they attack you, they will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter from you in seven directions. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do. How'd you like to have a guaranteed blessing on everything you do? And he will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he has given you. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he saw he would do, and then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. It says the Lord will give you prosperity in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you, blessing with many children, numerous livestock and abundant crops. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens and bless all the work that you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. It says, if you will listen to these commands of the Lord your God, I'm giving you today, and if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You'll always be on the top and never at the bottom. You must not turn away from any of the commands I'm giving you today, nor follow after other gods and worship them. But if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overwhelm you. Now, I'm not going to go through the curses, but I want to tell you right now, it's very evident to me that God says, if you will obey the voice of the Lord, that these blessings will come on you. You'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, your children will be blessed. Everything that you put your hand to will be blessed. Yeah. Anyone here want to have blessings chasing after you? Yeah. Well, the key is listen and obey God. Now, there's two aspects to listening and obeying what God says. Number one, it means you have to listen and obey his written word, the Bible. This is God's word to you. This is God's instruction book for you. This is the manual for life. This reveals God's will, how he wants you to live. This is God's word to you. When you read the Bible, you should read it like it's God talking to me. Amen? Particularly, now the whole Bible, but particularly the New Testament is written for us today. And you know what? If God's word is not Lord of your life, then Jesus is not Lord of your life either. Do you know that when Jesus is Lord of your life, the word of God is Lord of your life? So I came to the place in my life, I was 17 years old, and I made that commitment to the Lord. Lord, your word is first in my life. Your word is final authority in my life. If you said it, that settles it, I believe it. I used to say, if you said it, I believe it, that settles it. But now I say, if you said it, that settles it, I believe it. God's word has final authority in my life. You've got to come to that place where you live your life submitted to the word of God. You do what the word of God says and you don't do what it says don't do. Are you with me? Psalm 119 verse 105 says this, your word is like a lamp that guides my steps, a light that shows the path that I should take. So, the first way that you obey the what God is telling you, the first way you obey the voice of the Lord your God is by obeying what he has already told us in his word. Can anybody say amen to that? In order to obey what God tells you in his word, how many of you know, you've got to read his word. How are you going to obey what God wants? How are you going to follow his plan, obey his word, if you don't even read it? God's word tells us his will for our life. Are you with me?
Yes.
That is when God's word tells us forgive, so that you can be forgiven. Now, if Jesus is Lord of my life and I'm going to obey him, then I'm going to forgive whether I feel like it or whether I don't. Because His Word says so. Are you with me? The Word of God says, do not forsake the assembling of the saints. Do not neglect the assembling of the saints. If I'm following the Word of God, I'm in church every Sunday. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good today. I said, if I am following God's Word, I'm in church every Sunday because the Word of God says, don't neglect the gathering of the saints. Are you with me? But now the second way that we listen, the second way that we obeying God's voice is listening and obeying what He personally tells you in your own spirit. See, God speaks to us by His Word. This is His will for all of His children. But then God also speaks to us down in our own heart, our own spirit. Romans chapter 8 verse 14 says this, the true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. Do you know that God's Spirit wants to lead you?
Yeah.
I said, do you know that the Holy Spirit wants to lead and guide and direct your life?
Yes.
But you have to let Him. You have to follow Him.
Yes.
The true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Many times we don't realize that God is speaking to us. You see, God speaks to you in your spirit. The real you is a spirit. Proverbs 20 verse 27 says, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of the heart. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. Now remember we read in Psalm 119, it says, God's word is like a lamp to our path. Remember we read that? Now it says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. In other words, God uses your spirit to direct you, to bring you light, to bring you down, guidance, direct. He guides you through your spirit. How does the Holy Spirit speak to our spirit? Romans 8 verse 16 says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now how does the Holy Spirit, or how does the Lord tell you that you are His child? Because He gives you a witness on the inside. The Holy Spirit bears witness. You have an inward knowing. You have an inward assurance that I'm a child of God. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Some of you. The rest of you, you need to get saved at the end of the service. The Holy Spirit speaks to us by what the Bible calls an inward witness. You might have an impression on the inside, a prompting to be good to somebody. That's not just random. That's God leading you. That's God talking to you. Or maybe you're in a situation and you feel an unrest. You feel an uneasiness. On the surface, everything seems fine. It looks like a good opportunity. But down inside here, there's an alarm going off. Something is saying, it's not right. Just stay away. It's something on the inside. That's not your nerves. That's not you being overly cautious. That's God wanting to protect you. Colossians 3 verse 15 says this, let the peace which comes from Christ act as an umpire continually in your heart, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind. The Bible says, I must let the peace of God act to rule like an umpire in my heart. Now what does an umpire do? An umpire tells you whether that was in or whether that was out. Whether it was safe or whether it was out. The umpire directs the game. Everyone's going to listen to the umpire. Am I right or am I wrong? Well, the Bible says that you should let the peace of God be like an umpire in your heart. In other words, if you do not have peace, that's God telling you don't do it. If you have peace in your heart, that's one way the Holy Spirit will lead you. You have a peace in your heart. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you have ever considered doing something and all of a sudden you don't have peace about it? You've got an unrest. You've got an unreason. You've got an alarm. Something's telling you not to do it. And more often our mind talks us out of it. No, that's not the case. Everything's fine. You know, look at them. They look good. Everything's fine. But on the inside, something's telling you not. See, that's that inward witness. When the Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your heart, it's talking about that inward witness. You see, when God is leading you to do something, you'll have a peace about it inside. But if you have an uneasiness, if you have an unrest, if you have a check down in your heart, that's God telling you, don't do it. When you feel these impressions, these promptings, don't ignore it. Don't talk yourself out of it. Just obey. Just listen and obey. God speaks to us inside our spirit with a still small voice. Where do we get that from, still small voice? We get it from 1 Kings 19, verse 11. It says, then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and a strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And that was God. See, sometimes we're looking for God to speak to us in a hurricane. We're looking for God to speak to us in a spectacular way. With fire. But the Bible says God speaks to us in a still, small voice. And if you'll follow that still, small voice, the scripture says in Psalm 32, verse 8, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will guide you. Say, thank you, Lord, that you are guiding me along the best pathway for my life. In Isaiah 30, verse 21, it says, your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. Sometimes it seems like there's a voice behind you, guiding you. It's a still, small voice. If you're not listening for it, you can miss it. The scripture talks about our inner ear. The scripture tells us about our inner ear, not a physical ear. It talks about an ear on the inside. In Revelation 2, verse 7, it says, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying. You see, very often, when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, you won't hear an audible voice. But if you'll be sensitive to what your inner ear is hearing, that still small voice, the inner promptings, the suggestions, the alarms, then God will keep you from heartache and pain. And he'll lead you into promotion and favor. He'll use you to be a blessing to other people when you follow that still small voice. Are you with me? In the book of Deuteronomy, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments and different instructions to follow. And he said to them in Deuteronomy 4 verse 2, do not add or subtract from these commands that I'm giving you. Just obey the commands of the Lord that I'm giving to you. He said, don't add to it. Don't subtract from it. God is saying, don't debate it. Don't reason it out. Don't overanalyze it. Just do what I'm asking you to do. Don't argue with God. It was amazing. People want to argue with God. We want to correct him. Lord, you're wrong, you know. And I'm wrong. Let me tell you why. I know who I'm putting my money on in that one. And it ain't you. Too often we feel these impressions. We have a knowing on the inside, but we dismiss it. Oh, I'll do it later. Or we override it. I feel an unrest, but it looks like such a good opportunity. He seems like a perfect man for me. You got all these alarms going off on the inside. Look at his hair. Or we overanalyze it. That couldn't be for me. It doesn't make sense. Don't talk yourself out of it. Don't come up with excuses. God is saying to us what he said to the Israelites, just obey. At the Christian Girls Seminar on Tuesday night, a lady was telling me how that when she first came to our church, I think it was the first service, she felt the Lord telling her, she felt on the inside, that impression, she felt God prompting her to give $1,000 to our new building. Now, she'd never given that much before. And at the time, she wasn't working. Her mind debated with her. In fact, her daughter saw her writing the check. And her daughter said, no, Mom, you can't do that. That's too much. Try to talk her out of it. Let me tell you, sometimes you've got to be careful because people will talk you out of what God's telling you. But she just knew. It was so strong. She felt it so strong on the inside. She just knew God wanted her to do it, so she just obeyed. Let me tell you, friends, God knows what he's doing. He can see things that we cannot see. Don't talk yourself out of what God is leading you to do. And here's the key. Every time you obey, a blessing will follow. You will never be good to someone else without God being good back to you. When you obey that still small voice, God will use you to brighten people's day and a blessing will come to you. See, this lady had been looking for a job. She was out of work. She's very smart, educated, but she wasn't working at the moment. But she gave that $1,000 and within like a week she found a job. Then she needed a car. She didn't have a car. And she'd been turned down recently. She tried to go and buy a car, but because of her credit, they turned her down. But after she gave that $1,000, something on the inside of her told her, go back to that dealership. She just felt that still small voice telling her, go back to the dealership. She doesn't know how it happened, but she walked out of that dealership with a brand new car. Amen. Isn't that how they improved it? She walked out with a brand new car. Even though she got a good job, it wasn't really the job that she wanted. But her boss told her, she told me on Tuesday night, said, my boss told me that I'm up for the job. The job I really want, I'm next up for it. Let me tell you, it pays to obey what God is telling you to do. I wonder how much higher we would go and how much more of God's favor we would see if we would listen and obey. Not argue, not try and reason it out, not come up with excuses. God wants to lead you down the best path for your life. And let me tell you, He knows where the favor is. He knows where the promotion is. He knows where the right people are. If you'll be sensitive to His voice and pay attention to what your inner ear is hearing, follow the promptings of your spirit, there's no limit to where God can take you. And God will talk to you about big things and small things. I mean, God will talk to you about practical things. You'll have that impression on the inside. You need to get to work on time. That's not just your conscience bothering you. That's God talking to you. You feel that prompting. You need to get to work on time. You need to get to church on time. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you, man. You need to get to church on time. Get me to the church on time. You feel that prompting. You need to invite your neighbor to church. You need to take that course and improve your skills. You need to stop being so sarcastic to your spouse. You know, God will talk to you about practical things. Sometimes we think God only talks to us about redemption and salvation and doctrine and righteousness. But God also talks to us about keeping the house clean. God talks to us about not staying up all night watching TV. God will talk to you, you shouldn't be watching that. God will talk to you about not leaving the grocery cart in the parking lot, but putting it back where you found it. God will talk to you about everyday things. We know that God says go into all the world and share the good news. But you know, God also says quit eating so much junk food. Forgive your co-worker. Be kind to your neighbor. You're going to pay attention to the practical things because the more you obey what God tells you, the more God can trust you and the more favor He'll release into your life. Every time you obey God, you're proving that God can trust you. But you see, if God has to argue with you about everything and you make excuses why you shouldn't follow these promptings, you'll end up getting stuck. Isaiah 1 verse 19 says, if you willingly obey me, if you willingly obey me, the best crops in the land will be yours. How about the Living Bible? If you only let me help you, if you will only obey, I'll make you rich. That's the Living Bible. If you'll obey me, I'll make you rich. Isaiah 1:19. Right up there. Learn this principle. Just listen and obey. You feel that impression to call a friend. Encourage them. I'm going to call them. You hear that prompting. Be more disciplined in your spending. You're obedient. You have that knowing on the inside. I just know I need to eat healthier. I just know I need to visit my parents. I just know I need to go and take that class. Here's the key. The I knows is God talking to you. You didn't come up with that. God is telling you to do it. Don't dismiss it. Don't put it off. The I knows will lead you down the best pathway for your life. And one way we know it's God is it doesn't go away. It keeps coming up again and again. In the middle of the night, you're not even thinking about it. And there it is. That's God wanting to get your attention. So the scripture says, do you know the scripture says that God leads us by promptings? Yeah. Did you know the scripture says God leads us by promptings? Yeah. Well, you're smarter than me because I didn't know it. I had to go and study it. But I'm going to give you the scriptures to tell you God leads you by promptings. Luke 2 verse 25. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, carefully observing the divine law, and he was looking for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him. He was waiting for the Savior. He was waiting for the Messiah. It says it had been divinely revealed, communicated to him by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Messiah. And prompted by the Holy Spirit, you see that? Prompted by the Holy Spirit, he came into the temple enclosure. So the Holy Spirit prompts him to go to the temple. And when the parents brought in the little child, Jesus, to do what was customary according to the law, they dedicated. Simeon took him up in his arms. He praised God. He thanked God. And he said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your servant to depart in peace according to your word, for my own eyes. I've seen your salvation. I've seen the Savior." The Holy Spirit prompted him to go to the temple. In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, the Bible says they were all gathered in one accord in one place. I quoted it earlier. And it says suddenly there was the sound of a rushing mighty wind. Tongues of fire sat upon each of them. And it says, and they started speaking in a number of different languages. They started speaking in other tongues as the Spirit prompted them. Do you have that one? It's not coming up. On here. As the Spirit... No, that's not it. Acts 2 verse 4. As the Spirit prompted them. Okay, move on. In the book of Acts, we see a prophet speaking as the Holy Spirit prompted him. Acts 11 verse 2. I'm giving you all these scriptures because I like to substantiate what I'm telling you with the Word of God. And I want you to see the Word of God. There's a number of scriptures that talks about the Holy Spirit prompting us. It says in Acts 11 verse 27, about this same time, some prophets came to Antioch from Jerusalem, and one of them named Agabus, he stood up one day and prompted by the Spirit, he warned that a severe famine was about to devastate the country, and the famine eventually came during the rule of Claudius. He said the famine's coming. So the disciples decided that each of them would send whatever they could do to their fellow Christians in Judea to help them out. They sent Barnabas and Saul to deliver the collection to the leaders in Jerusalem. They took up a collection and they sent it. The prophet said, "Famine's coming." He was prompted by the Spirit. And then in Romans 9 verse 1, here's another one. Paul, the apostle, he said, "I'm telling the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience testifies with me, enlightened and prompted by the Holy Spirit." Paul said, The Holy Spirit prompts me. The scripture says that prophecy comes by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 20. It says the main thing to keep in mind is that no prophecy of scripture is a matter of private interpretation. And why? Because it's not something concocted in the human heart. Prophecy resulted when the Holy Spirit prompted men and women to speak God's word. Scripture also talks about obeying the suggestions of the Holy Spirit. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 22 from the Amplified Bible, it says, "We receive from Him whatever we ask, because we obey His orders. We observe His suggestions, injunctions. We follow His plan for us, and we habitually practice what is pleasing to Him." The Bible says, because we practice what is pleasing to God, because we observe and obey the suggestions and the promptings and the leadings of the Holy Spirit, we receive whatever we ask from God. Let me tell you, God won't force you to do something. If God will not override your will, God will suggest it. God will prompt you to do it. But it's up to us to do it. I've learned the more you obey, the easier it is to obey. The more that you become more sensitive to His voice, the more you obey His voice. The more you respond, the easier it is to respond. And you'll get to the place where you're guided by these promptings. You follow the suggestions. You pull back when you feel that alarm, that check on the inside. That's how the Holy Spirit leads us. And Paul talked about being a vessel used for God's highest purpose. Let me tell you, God is looking for people that He can count on. God is looking for people at the slightest impression, the smallest suggestion. They move, they obey, they follow what God is telling them. God says, go here, and they go. God says, bless this person, and they bless them. God says, invite him to church, and they invite him. Change in this area, and they change. Give $1,000, they give $1,000. They don't argue, they don't make excuses, they're not too busy. They listen and obey what God says. In Psalm 25, verse 14, the scripture says, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. And the easy-to-read translation says it like this: the Lord tells his secrets to his followers. The Lord tells his secrets to those who follow him. God's Word translation says the Lord advises those who fear him. And the Good News Bible says the Lord is a friend to those who obey him. You want to be God's friend? Obey what he tells you. When you honor and obey God, he'll tell you secrets. He'll whisper things in your inner ear. He'll give you insight that you otherwise wouldn't have known. That's what happened. I mean, Kevin Zadar, who was here recently, he tells about a time he went he was a flight attendant. He didn't earn a big salary, and he was going to get a hamburger, I think a Burger King, and the Lord said to him, buy three burgers and give the other two to the two men you saw outside, the homeless people. So he bought three burgers, he had one himself, and he gave two. He went over to these two people, and he said, you know, I just want to bless you. And he said, he told them about the Lord. Anyway, the one person looked at him and said, the Lord says, you must take your money out of this stock, and you must put it into this. There's about to be a crash. This was in 2001. There's about to be a crash. You need to take it out of this stock, put it in that stock. And he said, he was so stunned, and then he turned around, and when he turned back, the person, they had a shopping cart, they were gone, and so was their shopping cart. He's convinced it was an angel.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, he took his money out of that stock, like that person said, I believe it was an angel. The Bible says angels can appear to you unawares, you don't realize it. And he put it in the other stock, and exactly what the person said, the stock crashed, and he made a whole lot of money. And then that happened a second time. God spoke to him through that person and gave him insight that he wouldn't have known.
Right.
Are you with me?
Yes.
See, sometimes we hear about people getting in trouble for insider trading. That means someone on the inside of the company is giving information to someone on the outside of the company, and it's going to affect the price of the stock. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That way they can either sell it off or they can buy more. They have an advantage because they have inside information. That's what God does for us, family. He knows where the good breaks are. He knows how to propel you years ahead. If you'll be sensitive to that voice, God will give you inside information. You'll know things you shouldn't have known that will propel you towards your destiny.
Yes.
A couple of years after Jill and I were married, we were renting an apartment. We had two children at the time. We wanted to get into our own house, but my dad was in construction at that time, and he suggested that we build our own home. He offered to help us. The government had a special subsidy for first-time homeowners, and we qualified for it. So we went to look at a lot of land. It was in an upscale area. We really liked it. We wanted to buy the lot. But when they sent the contract over, I had a check in my heart. I was 20 years old. I had a check in my heart. I had an uneasiness. I had an unrest. I knew God was telling me, don't sign it. Thank God I obeyed. We didn't sign the contract. A few weeks later, we heard about a new housing development that had just opened up nearby us. We went to go look at a lot there, and no houses had been built there yet. It was a brand new neighborhood. But as soon as I stepped on the ground, I felt a prompting on the inside of me. I had a witness on the inside of me. This is the land we need to buy. So we followed that inner prompting. We bought that lot. My dad helped me. We designed and we built a small house. It had three bedrooms. But here's what happened that nobody knew. The first lot that we went to look at that I felt uneasy about ended up being overtaken by squatters. That's where people just come and they're all around your house. They set up camp. And what happened is the price of homes in that area just plummeted. We would have lost everything we invested. We didn't know it, but God did. But the area the second lot we looked at, that I had that prompting, I had that excitement, I had on the inside that witness, that area skyrocketed. I mean, we had this little home, probably the smallest home in our whole neighborhood. All around us were these homes with tennis courts and just huge, big houses. So our area just the prices just went through the roof. Our house increased by 60%. We sold that house after 2 years. We made $65,000, which is almost what it cost us to build it. That was God whispering secrets in our inner ear. Are you with me? Don't ignore what you're hearing on the inside. It may not seem logical, but God can see things you cannot see. He knows where the advantages are. He knows how to accelerate your dreams. He knows how to make things happen quicker than what you thought. We have inside information, family. Don't ignore these promptings. That's God whispering secrets in your heart. And if you just listen and obey, God will give you an advantage. He'll make things happen you cannot happen. The first miracle Jesus did was turning water into wine. And it happened because somebody did what Jesus told them. In fact, in John chapter 2, verse number 5, his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you to do, do it. Whatever he says to you to do, do it. Whatever he says to you to do, do it. Tell your neighbor, whatever he tells you to do, do it. It says, now there were six water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. 180 gallons of water. 180 gallons. Jesus said to them, fill up the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. And how many know when they took the water to the master of the feast, it was turned into wine. And the master of the feast said, you kept the best wine until now. And someone said, it was grape juice. It was grape juice. It was just grape juice. It wasn't wine. It was grape juice. Yeah, the master of the feast said, you kept the best wine until now, and you're talking about grape juice. Say to your neighbor, whatever he says to you, do it. That miracle happened, the water into wine, because they did what Jesus said. In the scripture, there's a man named Naaman. He was captain of the Syrian army. He was a very respected, influential man, but he had leprosy, an incurable disease. And a young maid who worked for him told him to go see the prophet Elisha. He'll pray for you, you'll be healed. She told him he's in Israel. So Naaman took the young lady's advice. He traveled a great distance and he showed up at Elisha's house. But Elisha didn't even go out to meet him. He didn't go and pray over him. He told his assistant to go tell Naaman if he will wash in the Jordan River 7 times, he'll be healed. And Naaman was offended. He was angry. Naaman thought to himself, doesn't he know who I am? Doesn't he know how far I've traveled? If I'm going to wash in a river, it's not going to be the Jordan River. That's dirty. There's a much cleaner river back home where I live. He came up with all these excuses. It didn't make sense. It wasn't logical. But let me tell you, family, listen, God is not going to explain everything that he asks us to do. This is what faith is all about. You just have to trust him. Naaman almost missed his miracle. He turned around. He was about to go back home until his assistant said in 2 Kings 5 verse 11. Naaman became angry. He stalked away. He said, I thought he would certainly come out to meet me. I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and heal me. He had a preconceived idea of how God was going to do it. Let me tell you, you can't put God into a box. God may not bring your dreams to pass the way you're thinking. God may not turn that problem around in a traditional manner. God's ways are not our ways. They are better and higher than our ways. You're going to stay open and let God do it his way. Naaman almost missed his miracle until his assistant said, sir, if the prophet had told you to do something difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey him when he simply says, go wash and be healed. So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times as the man of God instructed him. And his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child, and he was healed. Naaman didn't want to do a small thing, but I've learned that small acts of obedience lead to big blessings. It's not necessarily what you're doing, it's the obedience that activates God's power. When you obey in small things, go wash 7 times in the Jordan. That's a small thing. That's an easy thing to do. when it doesn't seem like it matters, when nobody's watching, when you don't feel like it, but you keep doing the right thing, you're faithful, you're a person of excellence. Let me tell you, obedience in the small leads to God's blessings in great ways. Yes. But if you allow it, your mind can talk you out of your miracle. Negative thoughts can keep you from God's best. What's interesting is Naaman didn't have the faith that it was going to happen. He didn't believe he was going to get well. He wasn't singing praises and thanking God the answer was on the way. He was complaining. He was negative. He was sour. But the healing was in the obedience. Could it be that your healing will come when you obey? Your promotion, your breakthrough, your restoration will come if you will just keep doing the right thing. Well, Steve, I'm doing my best. I'm honoring God. I don't see anything happening. Don't worry. Your time is coming. You might be on dip number 4 or dip number 5. But the good news is dip number 7 is on the way. God rewards obedience. Your healing is coming. The right people are coming. New opportunities are coming. Freedom is coming. Keep being obedient. Stay on that high road. It may be uncomfortable. It may not be fair. But God is in complete control. And He is a rewarder of those who obey and honor Him. Yes. I love the fact that Naaman's obedience overrode the fact that he didn't have the faith. That's how powerful obedience is. There are times in our life when we don't feel like we have the faith that we need. We want to believe, but we don't see how we can get well. We don't see how we can accomplish that dream. We don't see how our future is going to be bright. But here's the key. Until your faith grows, just keep being obedient. Just keep doing what you know to do. Just keep following that still small voice. Your obedience will override the fact that you don't have enough faith. Just obey what God is telling you. Naaman got healed while he was complaining. I don't like this water. It's dirty. It smells bad. He came up the 7th time. I told you it wasn't going to work. Then he looked at his arms. He couldn't believe it. He went from complaining to giving God praise. He said in verse 15, Naaman and his entire party went back to find the man of God. They stood before him. And Naaman said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except the God in Israel. Now listen, I'm not for complaining, talking defeat, being negative. There are examples where that keeps people out of their promised land. But in this case, obedience overrode all that. And like Naaman, when you face situations that you don't like, you don't understand, the odds seem against you, if you just keep doing the right thing, your breakthrough is on the way. Miracles happen when you obey God. When you obey, healing is released. When you obey, new doors will be opened. Every time you obey, you're sowing a seed. When it's difficult, you're uncomfortable, you don't feel like it, but you do it anyway. You're sowing an extraordinary seed. And that means you're going to reap an extraordinary harvest. God will never ask you to do something and then not give you the power to do it, family. When God asks you to walk away from a friend who's pulling you down, get rid of a habit that you know is ruining your health. He's not trying to take something from you. He's trying to get something better to you. If you will listen and obey, you'll come up to a new level in your destiny. One time, Pastor Theo went to pray for a lady in hospital. This was many years ago when he first started out the church. And this lady was very sick. And as he went to lay hands on her and pray, the Holy Spirit spoke on the inside. Says, don't pray for her. She has unforgiveness. He stopped. See, unforgiveness will stop those blessings in your life. So he stopped and he asked her, he said, lady, well, her name, I don't know what her name was, Mary Lou. Mary Lou, is there anyone you need to forgive? She started crying. She said, yes, I've held a grudge against my father for years. She told him what he did. Pastor Theo said, you need to forgive him. She didn't feel like doing it, but she agreed to do it as an act of obedience. He asked her to write a letter to her dad. He said, write a letter saying, I forgive you, and I'll make it. As soon as she wrote the letter, Pastor Theo prayed for her. She was instantly healed. The next day, she was released from hospital. Amen. Is there something you've been putting off that you know you should do? Maybe you feel like you have a right to hold a grudge and be angry. After all, Pastor Steve, they did this to me, they did that to me. All that's going to do is poison your own life, affect your dreams, affect your health. You have to forgive so you can be free. You have to forgive so your healing will be released, not just physically. But when you let it go, God will make you emotionally whole. That's when He'll give you beauty for ashes. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. You'll start loving again. You'll start laughing again. You'll start dreaming again. I know faith gets God's attention, family, but obedience activates God's power. You can have great faith, but if you're ignoring that still small voice, if you're overriding what you know God wants you to deal with, it can keep you from your miracle. Sometimes God asks us to do a hard thing. God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. That was the son they'd been waiting for 25 years. They prayed and believed. Now finally Isaac is here. And God wants Abraham to take Isaac up on top of Mount Moriah and sacrifice him. He's 20 years old now. They took a 3-day journey. They went up on that mountain. But just as Abraham was about to follow through and plunge the knife into his son, God spoke to him in Genesis 22. He says, don't hurt the boy. Don't harm him in any way. The angel said, now I know that you truly obeyed God because you were willing to offer your only son. Wow. Now why did God ask Abraham to sacrifice Isaac? Because that seems kind of mean to me. Doesn't it? Because that's kind of mean. How could God ask him to do that? Well, the reason is because God wanted to send his son as a sacrifice to redeem you and me. That's why God made a covenant with Abraham. Because a covenant is where two lives join together and everything I have is yours and all your debts are mine. God made a covenant with Abraham so that he could send his son Jesus to pay our debt. But God had to make sure that Abraham was willing to give his son. Because if Abraham refused to sacrifice his son, God wouldn't have been able to send Jesus. There's a lot at stake here. God, Abraham's obedience allowed God to be able to send Jesus. Because God said, now Abraham, you are willing to sacrifice your son. Now I can send my son as a sacrifice. It says, Abraham looked up and he saw a ram caught by its horns in its bushes. So he took the ram and he sacrificed it in place of his son. You know what's interesting? Rams don't usually go that high up on the mountain. It's not natural for them. But when you do what God is asking you to do, every step that you take in obedience, the ram is taking a step towards you. You may not be able to see it. Steve, I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing what God is telling me. But it doesn't look like anything is changing. Listen, what you can't see is on the other side of the mountain. Your healing, your provision, your breakthrough is making its way towards you. Like with Abraham family, there's going to be things we don't understand. We don't always understand everything God asks us to do. It may be difficult. It's hard to forgive someone who hurt you. It's hard to keep a right attitude when the medical report is negative. Family, but if you sow this extraordinary seed and be obedient, and you better get ready because you're going to see God's favor in extraordinary ways in your life. God will, His blessings will chase you down. Amen. I'm asking you today to listen to God, to obey God. Don't try and figure it out. Don't overanalyze it. Just do what you know God is leading and asking you to do. Pay attention to that still small voice. Listen with your inner ear. God wants to whisper secrets. He wants to give you inside information that will propel you toward your destiny. And if you'll do this, family, I believe and I declare that God is going to lead you down the best pathway for your life. You're going to see favor. You're going to see vindication. You're going to see promotion, healing. You're going to see restoration, increase the fullness of your destiny in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, give the Lord a hand of praise. Come on, if you receive it today. Listen and obey. Lift your hand. Say, thank you, Lord. Say, thank you, Lord, for leading me down the best pathway for my life. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, whom you've given to guide me and direct me. Say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to me, for leading me by that inward witness, by those inward promptings. I will follow, Lord. I will obey. Say, I am listening for your voice, and I will do whatever you lead me, whatever you tell me, in the name of Jesus. Say, I submit myself unto you, Lord. Jesus, you Lord of my life. Say thank you, Lord, for guiding me, directing me in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you learn something? Did you get something out of this today? Did you get something out of this today? Did you get something out of this, Casey, today? Angela? I'm going to ask each one person. You mind me? Bow your head for a moment if you would. I want to pray for you. Lord, I pray for every person here this morning. I pray for those watching online. I just thank you, Lord, for guiding and directing each and every one of us by your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that we know your voice. I thank you, Lord, that we're sensitive to your voice. We're sensitive to your leading. In the name of Jesus. While you have your heads bowed and while you have your eyes closed, I want to pray right now, a very special prayer. I want to pray, really a life-changing prayer. I want to pray for anyone who's here this morning and you are not sure where you stand with God today. You are not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord. I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain, you know for sure, you have no doubt about it, but you know that if you died today, you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such a church. I'm not asking you what church you belong to. I'm not asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you if you died today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Because the good news is you can know that for sure. You can know that all is right, all is well between you and God. Dear friend, heaven is a real place. There is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. And I want to pray right now. I don't embarrass anybody. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But while we have our heads bowed, while we have our eyes closed, this is between you and God today. If you want to be included in this prayer, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to know that all is right, all is well between me and God. I want God to lead and direct my life. Pray for me. If that's you, if you want to be included in this prayer, won't you quickly, right now, just lift your hand up high. Just raise your hand. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. I didn't see anybody. Did you see anybody, Pat? I didn't see anybody with their hands raised. Praise God. Well, tell your neighbor, I'm glad I'm saved. Say, I'm glad I'm saved. But I'm taking people with me to heaven. Amen. Praise God. Listen, my wife is going to come forward. And right now, we're going to worship and we're going to honor the Lord with our tithes and with our offerings today. And then I'm going to close in prayer. I've got a couple of things I want to tell you before you leave. But thank you for remaining. And you know, you want to try and plan to be in church. Where's the time now? What's the time? 11:45. You want to plan to be in church till 12 o'clock? I encourage you, don't make any plans until 12 o'clock unless it's absolutely unavoidable. But, you know, plan to be here because this is one day when you come, honor God, receive the word of God. Amen? I don't go to a movie and then get up and walk out right at the end. Yeah. How much sense would that make? Amen. Thank you, Jill.
Good message, right? Still, good message. Man, that just doesn't that just stir your faith? Like, just yes. I'm going to listen and obey. But you know, the Word of God is filled with people, stories of people who listen and obey God, and it led to their provision. Amen. And right now we're going to be receiving the offering in their envelopes on the seats right where you are. We always like to share a scripture because we give because of what God's word says. Amen. Those that are watching online, there's a place for you to just give online as well today. But in 1 Kings we read about Elijah, who was a man of God, but he was living in a time of famine. But God gave him some instructions because
because God wanted to provide for him. God wants to provide for us, right? And I'll read a couple of verses. First Kings 17, verse 2. It says, "Then God told Elijah, 'Get out of here and fast. Head east and hide out at the Kereth Ravine on the other side of the Jordan River. You can drink from the fresh water from the brook. I've ordered ravens to feed you.'" So Elijah obeyed God's orders. We're talking about listening and obeying, right? He went and he camped in the Kereth Canyon on the other side of the Jordan. And sure enough, say sure enough,
sure.
Ravens brought him his meals, both breakfast and supper. And he drank from the brook. But then, family, the brook dried up. And that's why we need to be listening and obeying the word of God, the voice of God, right? Because circumstances change. And we may not know what to do, but God knows what to do, right? And so God gives him a second instruction. In verse 7, it says, "Eventually the brook dried up because of the drought, and then God spoke to him, 'Get up and go to Zarephath in Sidon and live there. I've instructed a woman who lives there, yes, a widow, to feed you.' So he got up and he went to Zarephath, and he came to the entrance of the village. He met a woman. She was gathering firewood, right? And he asked her, 'Please would you bring me a little water in a jug? I need a drink.' And as she went to get it, he called out, 'And while you're at it, will you bring me something to eat?'" So Elijah is listening to what God said to him, and he's obeying it. He says, "Go there. There's a woman who's going to provide for you." So he says, "Give me something to eat. God said you're going to give me something to eat." Now, God has given her an instruction. And whether she listens to it and obeys it is up to her. Because there are, she couldn't understand it. She didn't have enough. She didn't have enough. She says, "I've only got enough for me and my son. We're going to eat it, one meal, and then we're going to lie down and die. So I don't have enough." So she has a choice here. There's two people with a need, right? And I'm just going to read a couple more verses, verse 13, so we know what happens at the end of the story. Elijah said to her, "Don't worry about a thing." Tell your neighbor, "Don't worry about a thing. Go ahead and do what you said, but first make a small biscuit for me and bring it back here. Then go ahead and make a meal from what's left for you and your son. Then this is the word of the God of Israel. The jar of flour will not run out and the bottle of oil will not become empty before God sends rain on the land and ends this drought." And lastly, she went right off and did just as Elijah had asked. So she listened and she decided to obey. It was hard, but she was going to follow what he said. And it turned out as he said, daily food for her and her family. The jar of meal did not run out, and the bottle of oil did not become empty. God's promise fulfilled to the letter exactly as Elijah had delivered it. Isn't that awesome, family? Say this, say, "My provision is on the other side of my obedience." Isn't that good? Her provision was there. Like Pastor Steve said, she's moving one way, and her provision is moving towards her. She can see it, but it's right there. It's right at the other side of her obedience. Our God is a supernatural provider, family. We can trust him. We can follow his lead. I just, as Pastor Steve's preaching, I think of time and time again, not just in the area of finance, in our family, in our marriage, things where I follow the leading of the Holy Spirit when everything else said something different, and God's always come through. Amen? So we can follow him. So today as we give, let's give in faith. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Nothing we say in this time of offering is about manipulation. If you don't want to give, keep your wallet in your pocket. Keep it in your bag. It's not about manipulation. It's just the teaching to obey the word of God and obey the voice of the Holy Spirit is what will lead you into a victorious life in every area. Amen? So as you prepare yourself to give, thank you. Pastor Steve, would you like to say
a few
things?
I just want to pray with you. I want you to hold that offering, your offering envelope in your hand if you're using an envelope. Of course, there's various ways of giving, but I want to pray over this morning. And I want to thank everyone in this church. I want to thank all of our faithful tithers and all of our faithful givers. Because if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be able to have service every week. I don't know if you know, but they don't let us use this room for free. They actually charge thousands of dollars every week. But thank God for our faithful givers and our faithful tithers. And I want to thank everyone who's given toward our new building. We will be closing on our new building in January. We will be closing. And thank God we've already paid the first 6 months of our mortgage, which has been paid up front. And we have the funds that we need for the closing. But we are trusting God. We still need to raise funds for the build out. When we close in January on the building, then we've got to start building it. We've got to do renovations, taking out walls and making the sanctuary and making classrooms and extending the bathrooms, and all of that's going to take, you know, a fair amount of, I don't know how exactly, but it's going to take probably $100,000 or more. And so I just pray that you'll continue to listen to your heart, what the Lord would have you to give. We're almost there, but the finish line is in sight, but we're not quite there yet. And let me tell you, do you know how God is going to supply the funds for our new building? This is not a trick question. I said, do you know how God's going to supply the funds for our new building? He's going to supply it to you, and then you can give it to the building. So God's looking for people to bless. People who want to bless His house, God's looking to bless your house. If you sit here this morning and say, Lord, I'm available. I want to be one. I want to be a blessing. I want to give to that new building. God will find a way to get finances to you. Because it's going to come through your hands. So think about it. God's looking for people to bless. He's looking for people to bless. If God blessed you with $10,000, how much would you give to the building? Well, $1,000 would be your tithe. God might give you $10,000 and He might say, I want you to give half of it to the building fund. Now, I'm not saying He would, and He will, but He could do that. Amen. If you get $10,000 and you tithe, you haven't really given anything because the tithe belongs to Him. You understand what I'm trying to say? God wants to bless you in unusual ways because you're the ones He's going to use. I've already called the mafia. They're not willing to fund our building fund. The mafia said no. I called the Colombian cartel in Colombia. They're not willing to fund our building. God said, I'm going to use you. I'm looking for people. Are you one? Hold that in your hand, your envelope this morning. So thank you for giving to the new building. We'll be in. We're trusting to be in there by April. Hold it in your hand. Father, I thank you for the obedience of your people. Lord, you said that as we bring your tithe, all of your tithe into the storehouse, that you would open the windows of heaven above us and you would pour blessing. You would rebuke the devourer. So Lord, I thank you right now for open windows above the above your people. I thank you for opening the windows above every tithe and every giver. Thank you for pouring blessings upon them. Thank you for pouring favor upon them. Thank you for opening new doors of opportunity. Thank you for rebuking the devourer. Thank you for protecting them in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now, Father, that blessings are chasing after them in Jesus' name. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. Say thank you, Lord. The windows of heaven are open over me. And blessings, say it, say blessings are overtaking me in Jesus' name. Amen. I went to pray for a man in hospital, David Noble. Some of you may know David. He had a heart attack on Wednesday. Not Wednesday. What day was it? Friday. Thursday. Thursday. He went to the gym. 6:30 he was at the gym. And he started feeling dizzy. And he started, he couldn't breathe. And he knew something was wrong. He called his wife. And he told her, come get me. Take me to the hospital. She said, no, I'm going to call 911. She called 911. By 7:05, he was in surgery. Within 35 minutes, he was at Gardens Medical, one of the best heart teams in the country. And in 35 minutes, he was in surgery. They saved his life. I went to see him on Friday. You know what he said to me? He said, I said to my wife, see, that's why I'm a tither. Because God protects me. He's a faithful tither. I believe the Lord protected him. He got to that hospital in 35 minutes in surgery with a stint in his heart. He's going back next week for another stint. He's only 50 years old. Let me tell you, God said, I'll rebuke the devourer. I will protect you. Amen. I want to thank all of our volunteers who served today. I want to thank our setup team. I want to thank our breakdown team. I want to thank our ushers, our greeters, our bookstore, our children's workers. We appreciate you. I want to just let you know that we're going to be having some dinners over the month of January on Friday, December. I just say these things to test you, see if you're paying attention. But Friday, December 1st, we have a dinner at my home for all children's church workers. If you help in children's ministry, we want to show our appreciation to you. And we would love to have an evening of dinner at our house on Friday, December 1st, as children's workers. On Friday, December 8th, we're having for the setup team, the breakdown team, the ushers and the greeters. And then on Tuesday, December the 12th, we're having our annual Christmas dinner. We're still finalizing it, but it looks like we're going to be at Brio, the restaurant Brio, and we're doing a great deal. But that's on Tuesday, December the 12th. We'll have tickets available next week. We hope that you'll be there. We hope that you will join us. Amen?
Amen.
And then finally, I want to say this, is that I would love to meet you today. I'll be in the lobby after the service, and I would love to meet you. If you haven't met me, I'd love to meet you. And I want to remind you all, the Bible says, go into all the world. Let me see it. Go out into all the world and make disciples. The scripture says in Matthew 28, go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. On your seat, there's a little invite card like this. Please, won't you take that card with you and invite someone to come to church next Sunday. Monique, our worship leader, somebody hit her car. Well, you were sleeping, I guess, right? Someone hit into your car. They bent something in your car. She couldn't get to church today. She had to get a ride. If anyone knows a mechanic or can help her, please come talk to me or go talk to her. Ushers, go ahead with the offering. Let everyone remain seated. Don't stand up. Go ahead with those offering bags. I thought you'd already done that. Praise God. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, whatever he tells you, obey it.